Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. And you know, Satan always attacks the foundation. And how many of you know a new, because every year it's like we're going into a new year, new start, fresh new year. You're gearing up for stuff, you know, and it's like another leaf you turn. Now, Satan always will attack very strongly at the start of something, at the genesis of something. You know, when something is new in its beginning, don't be surprised if Satan comes against you really strongly then. You know, if you've ever tried to kickstart something, I'm just thinking about even Vary just now, world race, you know, massive thing. And I don't know, but did you have any adversity when you thought, I'm going to do this? I'm sure you've had adversity throughout. But Satan comes at the start of things and he wants to stop you at the beginning, because he wants to destroy the integrity of any foundation that is good. And you know, I'm going to use it's a rather weak analogy, but I'm going to use a house. You know, the foundation is the principal thing. Satan, if your life is a house, you know, he's not that worried about giving you a leaky roof. He has minions, and there are lots of things that will come against you that will give you a leaky roof. But what he wants to destroy is the foundation of your life. And so he always comes and, you know, at the main game changer is when you start something and you're like, I've set my mind to do this. And then he comes in really intensely. So he always attacks the genesis of something. You know, we're going to have leaky roofs and we're going to have drafty windows and things like that. And you know, some things will just meddle with you, but his modus operandi, his MO is to get right in at the foundation. And because we can see that, Pastor mentioned Genesis 3, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, would you Adam and Eve it? He got right in there at the start, bit of Cockney rhyming slang there. He got right in there at the start with Adam and Eve and deceived Eve. And then, you know, so we know that he's going to come. And so, you know, we've got 4 weeks of Advent to prepare for 2017. And this is going to be a season. You know, it is a season for some people that's just so difficult when it comes to money, it comes to relationships. Then, you know, it's a time of year people tend to let their hair down and maybe drop their standards a little bit and compromise on certain things, and they'll just do that. And so this can be a season that can be pretty, you know, you can come out the other side of it thinking, you know, I'm just going to go into recovery mode now instead of using, you know, the time. Because how many of you know, if you wait until Hogmanay to make your New Year's resolutions, I don't know, you haven't put a great deal of thought into it. And I think what we're saying is, why don't we as a church put this time in between now and then to really think about Advent? You know, in Advent, people fast. You know, traditionally, people fasted during Advent. They spent time in the Word and in prayer. So let's get back to that, and let's just spend that time seeking God for 2017. Amen? Because you don't want your new year to be a recovery from the old year. You want it to be your launch pad for 2017. So otherwise, I've been there before. I mean, we've been there. It's like January's a recovery month from, and February is like the recovery from the end of the old year. It's like, so you don't even get off to that powerful start. And we always, you know, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting every year in the church when we start the new year. 21 days of prayer and fasting, but I just think, you know, wow, I'd be in a much better position if I started now. Get my this season under control with the Lord's help, you know, and don't compromise, and just make it about Him and make it about family, make it about others. And I think we can have a completely different season Amen? So, you know, let's do something. I'm not saying that, there's probably people here that have done that before. You know, you've done that kind of stuff. But let's, as a church, corporately, let's do something really different this year. And let's fast a bit during Advent. Let's pray, amen? And I pray, that was just a prayer that came to me about restoring family relationships. And actually, Lee in the Tithes and Offerings said a lot of things that just work in with this message that I have today. But, you know, let's talk to our loved ones. Let's put some things right there with them. And, you know, let's leave 2016 having settled our differences. You know, having forgiven those that have offended us or hurt us. Let's leave it in 2016. I think that's a great thing to do, you know. And just have a release in your life towards people that or situations that have been, just this 2016 has been hard. I've been speaking to people. I spoke to someone just before the service. 2016, wow, hard year, difficult year, difficult year. My wife and I said in 2015, I said, sweetheart, that was the hardest year we've ever had. And in other words, we probably won't have another one like it. And then 2016 arrived. Do you know, so I want things to be different in 2017, not the same. Cast off all of those old sayings that you have, all of the old fables and all of the old, this is just the way it's going to be. And does anyone remember Pastor Mark's video clip of the Adam and Eve stones? Those two huge stones. And he got up there, and the challenge was that he had to leap from one stone to the other. And they were pretty high. They looked pretty intimidating. And he's up there. He's having to size all of this up. And, you know, it must have looked like a chasm, like a gorge, you know, to him up there. But you can only get across a chasm in one step. Can't take two small steps. And you know, we've heard people say, oh, just a step at a time. And I know that that's true. I know that we can only go a step at a time. But sometime God wants us to go over a chasm. And that's going to take one step. And I was going to do this morning with the speakers, but no, I'm not going to bother. But you know, with a chasm, if you try and paw, have you ever seen an animal trying to cross over something? First of all, it doesn't work. You can't, there's nothing there, unless you're Indiana Jones, of course. There's nothing there. You've just got to say, right, I'm going for it, and leap one step, bound over that chasm. And, you know, I think that that's one of those old paradigms. Just one step at a time, my friend, one step at a time. And that's true, one step at a time. But sometimes we need a total paradigm shift, and we need to do something that's going to supercharge us and boost us out of where we are and get across to the other side. Amen? And the thing is, though, that takes bravery. It takes courage, but the reward's massive. You know, it's like the first time you do something that you're scared of doing, it's like, wow, the euphoria, it's like, that's amazing. Let's go back and do it again. So, you know, one step at a time, a wee step, a small step. But when you start taking those chasms, when you start crossing chasms, then it becomes, oh, I can do more. I can go further. And so do you agree with that? I want to read this quote to you by Mark Twain, if anyone knows who Mark Twain is. 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the things you did do. So throw off your bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, and discover. Amen? Isn't that good? It's like in 20 years' time, when I'm nearly 70, can you believe it? You believe that? I actually remember like it was yesterday when Colin and I were in a container out here, and Colin was jumping. You were jumping in and out of that container when we were loading stuff for Belarus like a whippet. And it's like, I'm thinking 20 years' time, I'm going to be like nearly 70. Come on. Bring it on. And so, you know, I don't want to be disappointed by the things that I didn't do then. I want to be like, yeah, the chasm was there and we went over it. And I'm bringing this around to how important prayer is. And there is an old song. Anyone know Stephen Curtis Chapman? A wonderful Christian musician. He wrote a song once called "Burn the Ships," and it was a story about the guys that went to colonize South America, and when they got there, they obviously anchored up to go onto this new land and this adventure, and their commander in chief said, "Okay, burn the ships. We're not going back. We're here. We're here to stay." And I think sometimes we always want to keep an escape route or an exit. We always want to keep something familiar there that we can say, all right, we can just go. But I believe that the Spirit is saying, burn the ships. Just some of those things, you've taken that next step, there's no going back. And so keep on going. And, you know, God will prepare your entries and your exits. You've got to trust him. In Psalm 121, verse 7, it said, "The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever." God is watching you as you come and go all the time. As you come and go from work, as you come and go from school, God is watching over you. And as long as we know that, I believe we can start to burn some of those ships. We can just, like, let them go. Yeah? Because it's like, what are you doing? Burning the ships. No. There was obviously a plan in that. It was like, we've come this far, we're not going back again. So I want to just remind you this morning of what God's priority is for your life. We come through a year and sometimes you think, wow, God, you know, what exactly did you have for me? Did you want to make me Do you want to make me a better businessman this year? Or did you want to make me a better dad or a better mom or a better carer or a better musician, whatever it is you do? And we think that, you know, is God's priority for my life to make me better in what I do? And then I was reminded that it's God's priority for your life to make you more like Jesus Christ. That's really his priority, because everything will flow out of that. Do you believe that? So it's to make you more like Jesus. And you've heard Pastor Bernie speak a lot about mastery, having mastery. That excellence and that mastery in what we do as people, as nurses, as doctors, as carers, as counselors, that flows out of being more like Christ. And sometimes we're getting it the other way around. I'll come to that in a minute. So Dr. Ed Cole said in our men's curriculum, this is the one that the guys never forget, says that manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. They should be one and the same. Oh, man, that's a bold statement, you know, because there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus was a real man. Real, real, real man. And you know, if I'm being completely honest this morning, I could not say that my life was synonymous with the life of Jesus. But he says that manhood and Christ-likeness are synonymous. And this is not a sexist church, so that applies to you as a woman as well. You know, that character of Christ is the same in you as it is in a man. You know, that strength and the courage and everything that you have. You have a one-up on us, is that you're beautiful too. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's beauty there that we don't have. There's things there that you have that we don't have. But God wants to make us more like Christ. And I heard that Pastor Tom Inglis saying that one of the problems that we have is that, you know, we're striving to achieve results in our life to show or to demonstrate that we are more like Jesus. Yeah, can you see where I'm going with that? We are trying to, you know, produce a result, demonstrate that we're like Jesus. But God, he's trying to get us to be more like Jesus so that the results of being like Jesus follow on. So it's a totally different paradigm shift. We have to get our heads around that, that while we're trying to do all the stuff so that we can be like Jesus, God's like, well, why don't you concentrate on the character of Christ in your life, being like him, and then all the stuff will come out of that. And then that's going to have much more of an impact on people when that happens. And so let's get ready for 2017 in a different way to the way that we've done in the past years. So we've got 4 weeks. We've got Advent. We've got a week of a hope, love, joy, and peace. And so what I would encourage everyone to do, and we're not going to make a pact or anything here this morning, but could we do one, you're going to think I'm talking about a film now, but we could we do one random act of kindness every day until Christmas as a church? Could we do something kind every day for someone until Christmas? No matter how small it is or how insignificant you think it is, I can guarantee you it will not be insignificant to the person that you do it to. Amen? We do that? Okay. So I'm just going to do a quick recap on just some of those, because this is the last week that we're teaching on prayer. We've been talking about the keys to answered prayer, okay? So here are some of the keys to answered prayer. If you've missed a week or something, get your bio out and just make these quick bullet points, all right? Number one, key to answered prayer is having desire. Remember that last week, Pastor spoke about desire. Our desires are formed in prayer, amen? Our desires come out of our prayer. Yeah. So if that's the truth, then God's desires are coming alive in us when we pray. Yeah. So if we're prayerless, whose desires are going to come to the fore if we're prayerless? Prayerless. They're going to be our desires, and they're going to be more carnal. They're going to be more fleshly. They're going to be more worldly. Those are the desires that are going to come to the fore if we don't pray. But the more we pray, the more God's desires are going to come, rise up in our lives. Amen? And he said that the stronger the desire, the stronger the prayer. So I just see a picture of passion there, of real desire, real passionate prayer. And I see it standing out from, if you'll forgive this, the way I'm putting this, normal prayer. Because we must pray every day, but we can pray at another level, I believe. So he was speaking about desire, and I just want to show you the scripture here. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it says there, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal, because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." We're talking about desire. So we've got to choose our treasure wisely. Yeah? God's given all of us a choice. Our affections and our love will follow what our treasure is. Yeah? Have you ever seen, I remember when I was, when we were growing up and Gary and I shared a room, I had a shoebox. And that shoebox was out of bounds. All of my prized possessions were in this shoebox. Anyone ever done that? You just have your, this little like treasure box, you know? And you put all, and in those days they weren't much, little electric motors that ran with batteries and, you know, little doodads, you know. And that is where my affections were. As soon as I got home from school, after I'd have my cornflakes with 4 tablespoons of sugar on them, I'd go to my room and I'd get my box out and I'd just look at the stuff in the box, you know. So, you know, your affections and your love follow the treasure that you have, okay? your fears and your concerns also follow that treasure. So this is why it's important to fix what do I treasure in my life? Because if I have a gold ingot here in front of me, I might be able to put all my affections on that, but I'm also going to be really concerned that Joe might just slip that into his pocket. Pull your pants down to the ground, eh? I'd have a concern or a fear that would go missing, you know. But when your treasure is in that time with the Lord, when your treasure is just that time, that relationship, then it's a total different focus. Amen. And so, and that is definitely one place where Joe can't get in and interfere, you know. And because moth and rust can't destroy, nothing can destroy that intimate relationship, all right? So, you know these little daily devotional books you get? I think I've seen one, it was called Daily Treasures or something like that. You know, you usually find them when you go into people's bathrooms. When you visit them, you know, there's always a little book or in the kitchen windowsill. And it was called Daily Treasure. And it's, you know, one thing that we'll have for sure for eternal significance is the time spent in prayer. And, you know, that time of prayer with God is just a free and honest opening of our hearts to Him. Yeah. So, and I think that's God wants us to be that way when we come to Him and pray. Free, open, and honest. Yeah. And we can come to Him in every way. We come to Him with thanksgiving, trusting Him for directions for 2017, thanking Him that no matter what happened in 2016, you brought us out of it and we're going into 2017, looking for His directions. You know, praying, appreciating Him and loving Him, and then confessing, right? Confessing our sin, confessing our shortcomings, and asking Him to work on us and working in cooperation with Him to put things right. That's why I really believe that people are going to change many things coming out of this year and going into the new year. I believe it. I believe that many things that have needed to be put right for some time, that you'll do that chasm leap and you'll just deal with them this year. Amen? And finally, the most important thing about that time with God is giving Him time to respond. Because it's all for naught if we give Him no time to respond. Deja, can you give me this little clip right now? So, just watch this little short clip.
Another place where kind of anaconda strategy that Iran has.
The signage there to direct them, you know, to proceed.
But something has to be done because I can't have an event.
With the proven track record.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that's.
But I think that at the longer you are in it.
Hey, you know all that.
I'm just like, get over yourself.
Did you get any direction on what to do about the job today?
No, actually, I didn't. I don't know what the deal is. It's like, God is trying to ignore me or something. Good night.
A life, a day full of noise, radio, phone calls, coffee with friends, all that stuff. It's all good stuff, and we all have to do it. But put your head down on the pillow at night God, are you even listening? You've ignored me today. I just thought, wow, I need to show that, you know, because God's not ignoring us. We just haven't given him a chance. We just haven't given him a chance. From she woke up, Bluetooth headphones in, jog, breakfast with the TV on. Not a chance. He didn't have a chance, man, to get in there. So give God time to respond. Amen? Give God time to respond. Another key to answered prayer is to have a hunger, a deep hunger, a craving. Do you remember Pastor Bernie spoke about a craving? Anyone have cravings here? For chocolate or anything like that? Christmas time. Oh, man, my wife made the best mince pies that I've ever had in my life. Well done. But I'm not going to crave them. And so, yeah, but it would be easy to. And another key to answered prayer, don't allow your focus to be broken. In Matthew 26:41, it says, "Then he returned to the disciples, Jesus, and found them asleep. He said to Peter, 'Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.'" Things will break your focus, you know. Your focus will be broken. You'll be distracted. You'll feel tired. You'll want to sleep. And sometimes we're going to have to push through that to get our prayer answered. Amen. Pray consistently. Anyone here ever prayed panic prayers? Panic prayers, emergency prayer. How much better would it be if, you know, we didn't have God in our lives as a spare wheel? You know, he's only there when we need him, when he's the steering wheel. You know, if he's always there, then we'll be less likely to pray the panic prayers. So, pray consistently, not just in moments of desperation. God is so good. He hears us when we cry out in desperation, but he wants us to speak to him every day. Amen. There's a Japanese proverb that says, when you're thirsty, it's too late to dig a well. You know, I know God is, you know, when we hunger and thirst, the word says he's there, you know. But it's the impression I'm trying to give you is that don't leave it until the very last minute. Amen. Pray fervently. Pray through till you break through. Pray out till you break out. Just pray fervent prayers. Pray fervently. Pray effectively. Pray prayers from your heart. You know, that's the place of communion is with God is in our hearts. That's the place of communion. That's like the place where we sacrifice is in our hearts. It's like your heart is the altar of sacrifice in your life. And so much is, that's why God says, I'm looking at your heart. I'm always looking at your heart. I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm looking at your heart. So we want to pray effective prayers, the prayers of the heart. We want to exercise the authority of Christ in us when we pray. You want to have answered prayer. We've got to be doing it based on some kind of authority, yeah? So we do that based on the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. That's how we get our prayers answered. And also, I'm going back to, anyone remember 2015? We talked about the anointing to see beyond. One of the keys to answered prayer is have a compelling vision. Have a vision that gets you up every day. Have a vision that is like so compelling in your life that you can see the future. And Pastor is speaking a lot about that, you know. And I'm sure some of you, I'm sure like Matt's probably, you probably seen yourself in Africa. In some way, you're like, I can imagine being there and helping. Same with everyone here. You know, in your line of work, you see yourself doing something and being successful at it. And another massive one for answered prayer is switch the focus to others. Take the focus off of ourselves and switch it to others. You know, intercession for others benefits us. You know, isn't that always so often the way that our efforts for others have a benefit back on us. So intercession for others benefits us. And you know, if God has given you in your life the ability to discern things, use that discernment and then intercede off of that discernment. Sometimes we get the gift of discernment and we immediately, we make a judgment based on that discernment, or we become critical based on that discernment. So it's like if someone's with me and God says, there's this issue is here, that is my green light to intercede for that person, not to criticize them, not to judge them. God is the righteous judge. So when if God is giving you that ability to discern, intercede. Intercede. It's, when that discernment is there, off the back of it, intercede. And you know, there's so many, I'm going to stop there because there's so many other factors in the negative, you know, that affect answered prayer. Aren't there? You know, there's so many blockers, there's so many hindrances, you know, dishonor, unforgiveness. You know, there's the sin in our own lives that block us from getting answered prayer. And in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, it says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And so keep that always in your mind, you know. That's like a, that's the, you know, have you heard people talk about praying in a glass ceiling? It's like, yeah, I'm praying, and there's nothing happening. It's like they're bouncing off the ceiling. Search yourself, search your relationships. Make sure that you've forgiven people. Make sure you've released them, all of that kind of stuff. So, Deja, could you put this scripture on the screen? It's John 16, 23 and 24. And it says there, in that day, this is the crux of what Pastor wanted to get across this morning. In that day, you will not need to ask me about anything. I'm reading from the Amplified. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, as my representative, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked the Father for anything in my name, but now ask and keep on asking, and you will receive, so that your joy may be full and complete. Amen? So that there tells us, ask in the name of Jesus. Always. You know, it's like that Thanksgiving funny at the beginning. Right at the end, that little girl never forgot. All of this, thankfulness in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so, there's a legal authority that we have as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have a legal authority, and we need that legal authority in our prayer life. Because if we don't know what it means, you know, I dread dealing with lawyers. Thank God I have not had to deal with many lawyers apart from the ones that conveyanced our homes when we had mortgages, because I'm afraid I won't understand them. I'm just afraid I won't know what they're saying, that there's too much information. I can't take it all in, and I'm just going to go, no, help, you know, I just, you know. But we need to understand, and even in the most basic terms, who we are in Christ, and that we have a legal authority. You know, the Bible is really, it's like a legal document. The word it has an old covenant in it and a new covenant. And we are now living under a new covenant. And the word tells us what we're entitled to, tells us who we are in Christ, tells us what we can do and what we can't do. It doesn't bind us. It liberates us when you understand it. And the thing is, when you go to a lawyer's office and he gives you the whole contract, you think, oops, that's it. I'm bound. I'm like, you know, if I try and do anything that's this way or that way, I'm going to be in big bother. I'm going to be in trouble. You know, thank God that grace also comes with this covenant, this contract, but that it's not an excuse for us to live outside of covenant or outside of the contract, but that it helps us to get back on track quickly, you know. And so this is a legal covenant. And if you look at it, so much of the terminology in the word is, you'd hear it in any, you'd go to Kilmarnock Sheriff Court, you'd hear it in there. If you frequented Kilmarnock Sheriff Court, you'd hear it there. But so much of this is, it's legal terminology, legal jargon. And because we know that God is the judge, he's our righteous judge, Satan is the prosecutor or the accuser of the brethren. And who's Jesus? He's our advocate. He's our lawyer, and he stands there in God's presence. If you can imagine it, Pastor Tom did a wonderful podcast called The Throne Room is Also the Courtroom. And it was the best thing I've ever listened to on understanding what is going on in the throne room of God. Satan is coming there to say, Johnny is this and that and the next thing. And Jesus is like, no, hold on. Johnny's blood bought now. He's in covenant with me. He's been redeemed. I'm his redeemer. And so he's working on our behalf. He's interceding for us in the throne room of God so that when the prosecutor comes, it's like, sorry. Yeah, you can bring the prosecution, but there's a whole system up there. And the thing is, it's just. It's just. And God is the righteous judge. So we are bang to rights when we do break covenant. We have to face the consequences of breaking covenant. But see, if you're in covenant, you're protected. And there's nothing that the devil can do to you. You know, it's like it's like if you're driving along and the wheel fell off your car, right? And you're in the emergency services, the AA, right? Okay, AA, I've got a serious problem. My wheel fell off. All right, okay. What's your membership number, Mr. McLaughlin? I don't have one, but I used to be a member. Sorry, Mr. McLaughlin, we can't help you today. Why not? My car's, the wheel fell off. I have no contract with them anymore. I have to be in contract with the AA for them to come out to my aid. And I don't think the AA have the same grace and mercy as God has for us. So it's like almost this. And you know, the other thing you can't do with the AA is say, well, listen, my dad was a member. And sometimes we even try to do that in our Christian walk. You know, my granny was a good Christian. And she prayed for me. No doubt she prayed you right into God's mercy. You know, the mercy seat is there. But we can't get by on the covenant or the contract that someone else has. That's why we need to be in covenant. We need to be in contract ourselves. Amen. And so if we break covenant, we don't have the authority to use the name of Jesus anymore. And that gave us the authority to use the name of Jesus. The cross gave us the authority to use Jesus' name. Amen. And so we can, God has said, listen, as a son of God, as a daughter of the Lord, you have dominion on the earth. You have rule over the earth. Whatever is bound in heaven is bound on earth, loosed in heaven, loosed on earth. So that time at the fall, when dominion was taken off, that was restored to you. That was restored to you when you came into new covenant with Jesus. You have authority over the enemy. You can have mastery in your life and over your circumstances again. Okay? So, and amen. I'm getting good amens this morning from my wife. Keep going, sweetheart. So I'm only kidding. And we've got to be very, you know, let's just remember, who knows the Sons of Sceva? That guy got ripped apart. You see, we can't just tag the name of Jesus onto the end of a phrase and think that it's going to work. We need to know Jesus, and we need to know the authority that we have, what the name of Jesus can do, because that demon spoke to that man and said, I know who Jesus is. I know who Paul is. And basically said to him, but I don't know who you are, and I don't really know who you're in covenant with. I don't know who's backing you up. Who's behind you, you know? And that was it. That was his downfall. So that's why the name of Jesus has to be at the forefront of what we do, and it has to be the name on our lips. And we need, when we pray, that is we use the name of Jesus in its most in a most sincere way, in line with God's will for our lives, especially in line with God's will for our lives. This gives us all of the information we need to operate legally, and we need to know where we can go. So we need to understand that. Amen. I'm going to just bring it to a close now. So thank you for your attentiveness this morning. Using the name of Jesus gives us the key we need to unlock heaven. And you've probably heard this saying a lot. Different speakers have said it, but it's like an earthly license for terrestrial interference. We have an earthly license for heaven to intervene on earth. And so our prayer in the name of Jesus unlocks the forces of heaven that can back us up. And you know what? We don't have any problems if we've got the solution. You know, if you've got a solution for something, do you have a problem anymore? If someone's given you the solution, then you no longer have a problem. And all the solutions we need are right there. And so we don't have a problem because Jesus is our solution. Amen. And so Jesus came here, and everything that Jesus said, he was speaking his Father's words. You know, how many of you actually catch yourself sounding like your mom or your dad? when we point that out to our daughter, particularly, oh, no way, you know, it's like, I don't ever want to be like you. But often we'll find ourselves sounding just like our mom and our dad, you know. And Jesus came and he sounded just like his Father. He spoke what his Father was saying. You know, he had the scrolls. He didn't have our King James Bible like this, but he had scrolls. He knew the word, and he came and spoke what his Father said. And because our Father watches over his word to fulfill it, we have the same privilege. We have the same access as Jesus did. And as long as we speak what lines up with God the Father. And so I believe we're going to go into 2017, and we're going to be on a co-mission again with Jesus. Amen. We're going to be on a co-mission, and we're going to impact this area through the prayer outreach initiative. Amen. And we're going to reestablish, you know, what God's legal right is in our lives. When we pray at corporate prayer, we're going to strongly declare that who we are and what our legal authority is. And that has a geographical, territorial impact as well, because this is our oikos, like our cafe. This is our environment, our oikos, and God has given us this area to look after and to win. Amen? So we're going to do that, and we're going to start to make deposits in our lives. You know, if there's nothing inside us, there's nothing that can come out of us. So it's important that we give God the opportunity to respond to us. Let's let him make a deposit in our lives, because prayer will achieve more than our effort ever will. Amen. Just 1 minute or 5 minutes, and like Pastor Benny was saying, even if you can only pray for 5 minutes, just pray for 5 minutes. 5 minutes of prayer might could save you a lot of toil in that day. Amen? Do you believe that? You ever been in that situation? Can you imagine those guys when the first JCB ever rocked up on a building site? It's like, wow, it's a digger, you know? We've been using spades and shovels and picks and everything for years. And someone had an idea that if I just put these things together and use hydraulic pressure, and there's an engine turning that pump, and it goes into this cylinder, then the force of it is going to be, wow, a man with a shovel could never, ever do that. Hey, JCB, you know? And next minute you're digging trenches in double quick time. And sometimes we feel, wow, this person came along and I've been struggling with this situation for months, and they've had similar, and they dealt with it. And it's not because of effort. It's because of prayer. I believe that. You know, inventions and knowledge and understanding and wisdom comes through prayer. We get that deposit in our lives through prayer. Amen? So, well, thank you very much for listening. We're going to be patient too. Amen? Jesus was 30 years of his ministry was getting that deposit from the Lord. Paul, I think if you add up all the time that Paul was in prison, comes to about 6 years. What was he doing in prison? He was getting a deposit. He was getting a rich deposit when he was in there. He wrote, he sang, he prayed, he wrote some more, he sang, he prayed. 6 years total in prison doing that, getting a deposit in his life. And so, you know, we're here for such a time as this.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.